Every time I get a software update on one of my tablets, I'm always have to make sure that it works because I've had times where every other update it wouldn't work. So this time it worked. Okay, we're on the chart on page 2 in the workbook, and I'm sorry I don't have any more workbooks. I'm amazed at how quickly these workbooks go whenever we get them made up. But I'll make up some more for the near future, and hopefully by next Sunday I'll have some more out here if you need one. But we are studying the book of Joshua. The last study a couple of weeks ago, we looked at the theme or key verses and key words. Got quite a bit in there, and I don't even know if we got all of the ones that we wanted to note on there. Does anybody else have any words they wanted to add to this, key words or phrases? It's not already up there. I've got quite a few more that I've noted. I'm not going to put all of them up there because this is probably one of the more full list of key words and phrases. You might have anything.
Possess.
Okay. Okay. Border. Okay. Okay. And I think border was found 48 times and cities 86 times. So it is quite, as we would expect. And we're talking about conquering the land and some of the cities that they took, so that we would expect to see that. Okay, anything else? All right, if we took a step back and just looked at some of these words, could you get a pretty good picture of what's happening in the book of Joshua? Children of Israel, the land conquest, Joshua, God, the people, children of Israel, cities border and possess, the tribes. I think we can get a pretty good picture. And that's what this chart is all about, doing this, is getting a pretty good overall picture of what the book is about. So when you get into a deeper study with all these things in mind, what the book's about, then some of these things are going to start standing out a little bit clearer and a lot easier to get a good picture of what's going on. Okay, nothing else. Let's go ahead and get to the chart itself. Chapter 1 and verse 1, or first couple of chapters. What'd you find? How would you sum that up? Okay. The charge to Joshua, and if we could sum it up, I think it would be keep the word, right? Don't turn to the left or to the right. Keep all the book words of the book of the law. Okay. To me, the words that he gives to him right there are pretty much the command, I think, to every true follower of God. If you listen to what he says in verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, chapter 1, verse 8. That you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do all according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Isn't that pretty much the recipe for success of anybody who wants to be pleasing to God? Just do the commandments, and then you'll be successful. That's been pretty much true throughout time, regardless of what covenant. Hey, anything else? The spies sent in to Jericho. Had they heard about the Israelites? And how did they feel about those Israelites? What did Rahab say? Heart melted. So they obviously had heard what had been going on. They were already afraid of the Israelites, and when they heard that there might be spies there, they were going to try to put an end to that, because they didn't want to be on the receiving end of whatever they had already heard that the Israelites had done to the other nations. And as we know, though, that really doesn't do any good when you're on the wrong side of God. Okay, anything else? Chapters 1 and 2. Okay, the preparation to cross over. And again, going back to chapter 1, Joshua is encouraging them, beginning about verse 13, to simply do what God says, because they were to take possession of the land as they had been commanded. And when was the last time they got close to the border? What happened last time they got close? Okay, they sent spies in that time too, right? 12 spies, 10 came back with a bad report. And so what did they end up doing for 40 years? Wandering in the wilderness. I think there's some little memory of that as Joshua is encouraging them to go in and take the land this time. Hopefully the people who are there now would remember very well, because their parents were not going in. So it should be very strong impression made upon them by the words that Joshua is saying here. Especially verse 14. You shall pass before your brethren armed, all your mighty men of valor, and help them until the Lord has given your brethren rest as he gave you. And this is to those who are on the eastern side. Then you shall return to the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side of the Jordan toward the sunrise. So he's encouraging them to fight with their brethren. And their answer was, we're going to do all that you said, wherever you go. This is one of those rare occasions where they say, we're going to do what you say, and they actually do it. We know the history of the Israelites. That's not always going to be true. Later in the book, when we see Joshua exhorting them to follow God, they three times say that, yes, we will keep the covenant. And the sad part is, we all know what happens later on. They make that promise to keep the covenant. What happens when the generation of Joshua passes away? What about that next generation?
They fall away.
Generation, Judges chapter 2 and verse 10, they did not know the Lord nor his works. And then they started following after the gods of the nations around them. So now it's good. They're saying we're going to do this, and the book of Joshua is all about them doing what God says. Okay, anything else in chapters 1 and 2? All right, chapter 3 through chapter 5, verse
12.
Okay. And they set up the memorial stones at Gilgal. And what was the purpose of setting up those memorial stones? Okay. What is a memorial for? To remember it. Something that for the later generations, you know, the ones who are there, they don't need to remember it because they're doing it. But as he stated, for the generations to come, and when the children ask, what's this for, they will tell them. This is remembrance of when God brought them into the land. This is the place where they entered into the land. It should have been significant to them. In the beginning of the nation of Israel, their land, that land promise that God had made to Abraham way back, here it is being fulfilled. It's something worth remembering. What else a significant event here, I think, as they're starting in into the land? What other significant day did it just happen to be when they crossed over, or soon after they crossed over? Well, the circumcision, but the day, there was a day that's significant to them. Passover. What was the original Passover? What was it a memorial of? Say it again. Leaving Egypt. Yep. The fact that God had passed over them in the killing of the firstborn in Egypt, and right before they left, they. Significant to them because that was a remembrance of them getting out. If you remember that when they left, they were to take the unleavened bread. They weren't even supposed to wait, give time for that, so they took the unleavened bread with them. That would be a significant thing for them for a long time. So think about that. You've got a memorial set up here to remember that God brought them into the land, and then shortly after they get in, they're remembering the Passover. It's on the other end of their exodus when they were coming out of Egypt. So pretty significant events for the Israelites right here as they're crossing into Jordan. And on top of that, if they knew the promise of Abraham, they could see that this is the beginning of the fulfillment of that land promise. There are a lot of significant events, just this crossing over, that hopefully the Israelites would remember. It should have been significant to them. Okay, anything else? Chapter 3 through 5, 12. Okay, chapter 5, verse 13. This is a big section here, but not really any good way to break this down. Chapter 15, 5, verse 13 through chapter 13, verse 7. Okay, Jericho is the beginning of the... I thought I heard somebody over here. What else is going on in these chapters? About conquering Canaan. Is that a good way to put it? Okay. Jericho, the victory. Ai, the defeat. Because of Achan's sin. It is the beginning of the conquest. Excuse me. Depends on where you're reading, because if you look, beginning about verse 13 of chapter 5. Joshua was by Jericho. He lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? So he said, no, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. So he's identifying himself as the commander of the Lord. Angel, I don't know if I could say that, probably. Yes. And if it's a messenger, that certainly qualifies as an angel. But then later we see in chapter 6 and verse 2, the Lord is saying to Joshua, so God is speaking to him. So we've got one occasion, probably an angel, and then the Lord speaks to him later. Okay, anything else in this section? chapter 9, we've got the story of the Gibeonites. What are they infamous for here? Okay. Deceiving the Israelites, that was the important part there. They dressed themselves in worn-out clothes and sandals to make it look like they had traveled a long way, brought old, crusty, moldy bread to make it look like they'd been traveling for a long time, deceive the Israelites and saying, oh, we're from this far country, we heard about you, we want to make a treaty with you. What was the fault of the Israelites in making that treaty? Yep, they didn't consult God. It's always going to be a problem, isn't it? Even for us today, whenever we make decisions, we don't consult God about our decisions, especially some ones that are going to have some long-lasting consequences. And we see this is really the beginning of their troubles. Whenever they don't consult God, they make some mistakes, it's going to cost them. And it could have been a lot worse. But because the Gibeonites are amongst them, they make them their slaves, but they have to go to defend them later in their history, taking out time to defend them because they had made that treaty with them, and they could have been putting their resources elsewhere. And that's something you may not think of. Oh, what's the big deal about that? Well, sometimes when we make bad decisions and we go have to spend time to go do that thing that we have to now clean up after, it takes away time of our service to God. It takes out time of our life that we could be doing things for others that are probably more important. And they learned the hard way. Lottie?
We also said they were probably influenced bad, that the Gibeonites were a bad influence on them too.
Yeah. No doubt. That's one of the things God said early on, is to not make treaties for that very reason. They as he would say, that the term that he used, or the phrase, was they'll be thorns in your side. And as God said it would, that they were. Okay, anything else in this section? Yes, as already mentioned earlier with Ai and Achan, the sin of Achan. And what was the sin? Okay. Simply put, he disobeyed God's command to don't take any of the spoils of that, and he took a little bit, hid it under his tent, thinking nobody knew about it. Who always knows? God knows. And even though the Israelites didn't, even Joshua didn't, when they were defeated, Joshua was complaining to God, why did you bring us out here just to be defeated? Ron?
Concerning Jericho as well, I think I remember that God placed a curse on the city.
Yes.
Right. And many years later, the curse was whoever builds this, his firstborn or his children would die.
Right.
Would die. And it was, I don't know, maybe even 1,000 years, but it was a long time in between Jericho was rebuilt. He was reminded, that king, I think it was reminded of that curse, and yep, just laughed it off until the sun died.
Right.
So I think at that point, that curse started. And it
yes. Exactly. Another one of those cases where God says something, that this is going to be the case, and man may forget about it for a long time, but when the occasion comes and they try to rebuild the city, it happens just exactly as God said it would. God's word is absolutely sure, no doubt. Okay, anything else? Louise. Okay, good point. You know, another one of those things of keeping the word when they destroyed the city. And you might wonder, well, how is she going to be spared when all the walls fell down? Where was her house? On the walls. Well, who made the walls fall? God did. Don't you think God can make sure one part of that wall doesn't fall? If he can make all of them fall down, he can make sure one part of it doesn't, right? This is by the power of God, not by some, as the Discovery Channel likes to tell us, by harmonic vibrations of the marching feet that caused the walls to crack and fall down. That would be random. But the fact that, as you said, pointed out there, Rahab and her family were spared because they were in the house, it wasn't random. God, the work of God definitely seen. Okay, anything else? All right, next section then, chapter 13, verse 8 through the end of the chapter. Okay. Okay. That's pretty much sums that up fairly well. Chapter 14 through 19. West of Jordan. That summed up pretty well. Okay. Chapter 20. Cities of refuge. Give me a brief explanation of what the cities of refuge were for. Okay. So basically it's a act of mercy by God by establishing these. If you kill someone accidentally, you could go to one of these cities of refuge, and they were put through all out the land so you didn't have to go from the north to south. You had a fair chance at least to make it there before somebody in the family wanted to take vengeance on you. Now, even if you were found guiltless of murder, it's an accidental death, what's still the stipulation? Okay. Even the ones found guiltless still had to stay in that city of refuge until the judge died. Not somebody else in the family, but the judge. How long could that be? It could be, depending on the judge, how long they live. It could be the rest of your life. And again, as a lot of you pointed out, you go outside the city, what happens? Or what could happen? They could still take that vengeance. And again, this is even for the one who's found guilty of what we would call today manslaughter, an accidental death, but by your act. You know, if you happen to, I think one of the examples showed you threw a stone, not seeing someone, and it hits them and kills them. Well, you weren't intending to kill that person. There was a measure of mercy that God gave to someone who had done that. Murderers, you didn't have that. I mean, you might still go to the city of refuge, but you're going to be put on trial. And if you're found guilty, then you don't get that same act extension of mercy. Okay, chapter 21. So the cities of the Levites. One of the things I wanted to note here, just for the sake of understanding what had been given to the Levites, turn over to Numbers chapter 35. Numbers chapter 35, the first 8 verses that outlines the inheritance of the Levites. Verse 2, he says, command the children of Israel that they give the Levites cities to dwell in from the inheritance of their possession. And you shall also give the Levites common land around the cities. So what we're seeing in chapter 21 of Joshua is what he's talking about here in Numbers chapter 35. In this verse 3 going on, they shall have the cities to dwell in, and their common land shall be for their cattle, for their herds, and for all their animals. common land of the cities which you will give the Levites shall extend from the wall of the city outward 1,000 cubits all around. So all these cities, they're mentioned in Joshua chapter 21 as cities for the Levites. You take the wall of that city and measure out 1,000 cubits all around that city. That was where they could raise their cattle and raise their crops. That was theirs. They didn't get tribal land like the rest of the tribes did, but they had the cities and that common land around it. Anything else in chapter 21? Yes. Okay. Caleb also got a... Yeah. Within Judah. And I did think it's interesting that those two men got special choice. Any particular reason why? I think it's pretty obvious, right? They were the only two out of the 10 spies that brought back the good report. And they... and their families were the only ones over the age of 20 who went in. Ron?
Well, the end of chapter 21 kind of makes the confirmation that God followed through on his promise on this land.
Okay.
That he gave all that he said he would give.
Okay.
So there's a couple of three verses there to kind of confirm that the age-old promise.
Okay. If I'm in the right book, I'm sitting here looking at 21. I know it's in there, but I can't find it. Wrong book. Verse 43 through 45. The Lord gave to Israel all the land which he had sworn to give to their fathers, and they took possession of it. Dwelt down to verse 45. Not a word failed of any good thing the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass. Those are pretty important words for us today. Looking back on the promise that God made to Abraham, that was reiterated to Isaac and then to Jacob. Here we see the fulfillment of that. None of those men saw that. In fact, God, when he made the promise to Abraham, said, you would not get it, but your descendants will. Well, now we're seeing that. And if you go back to Genesis chapter 12 through about 17, within that, God very clearly specifies the borders of the land he was going to give to them. And now we find that he's keeping his word again, and not just most of it, all of it, exactly what he said, every bit of it. Okay, anything else? Chapter 21, good points being brought out there. All right, chapter 22. Okay. Just as was required, if we remember back when they chose those lands that they wanted, stipulation was, okay, you can have it, but you've still got to fight with your brethren on the other side to make sure that they are able to get their land. So that's all done. So now they return to the land, and what do they do that causes a little bit of concern for the western tribes? Put up an altar. So what was the initial thought that this altar was by the western tribes? Okay. Good lesson in that occasion right there about when there is an apparent wrongdoing. Did they just go in and kill everybody? No, they went in and they asked, what is this for? They were ready to punish them. And if you remember in that occasion, they pointed back to Achan. Remember what happened when Achan disobeyed? Well, that tells me that Achan wasn't forgotten once he was gone. He was still an example of what happens when you disobey. They were defeated. And so it was clarified. They were, it was straightened out what it was all about. They were content with that. They didn't drag it out, keep dragging it out, make a bigger issue out of it. They got a satisfactory answer, and then they went on. Okay. Chapter 23 and 24. Before I put farewell down there, I'm going to put one more thing, his charge to the people. And then he makes his farewell. Okay, chapter 23. He again brings up the point, beginning about verse 14, chapter 23. He was soon to die. He said, "Behold, this day I'm going the way of all the earth. You know it in all your hearts and all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concern you. All have come to pass for you, not one word of them has failed." Yet the point he's trying to emphasize is that God kept his word. Again, we saw back in chapter 21 that same thing stated. Now Joshua is reminding the people of what they had seen. Remember, these are the people that they had gone through most of the wilderness, at least half their lives. And now they're entering into the land. They had seen all the provisions of God. They'd heard all the promises of God, especially the land promise, and now they are seeing it fulfilled. One of the things he goes on to say, though, is even as he said, all these good things have come to pass. Notice what he says in verse 15. "Therefore it shall come to pass that as all the good things have come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, so the Lord will bring upon you all harmful things until he has destroyed you from this good land, which the Lord your God has given you, when you have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God." So, a little admonition there, even as he tells them about the sure promises of God. He kept his word on all the good things. If he kept his word on all the good things, what about the bad things? He's going to do that too. A little warning to them. If you don't keep the commandment, God's going to keep his word in that too. Okay, anything else on chapters 23 and 24? Of course, we see the good charge there. Chapter 24 and verse 15, probably one of the most familiar verses in the Old Testament. "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." But he gives them a choice, doesn't he? Which of the gods are you going to serve? Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Gods across the river, gods of this land, or the God who brought you here. And that's when he said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Okay, anything else? So you look at the book of Joshua overall, how should God's people be feeling about right now as they're entering into this land? Okay. Thankful. The other words come to mind? Encouraged. Okay. Again, you know, going back to the words of Joshua about God keeping his word, especially about keeping all the good things. They know what all the good promises are. They should be encouraged. As long as they keep the word, they're going to be blessed. They're going to be protected. No nation is going to come against them. Anything else? Ron? Okay.
Would be something that they should all be feeling at that point because of all the blessings what they received and what's in front of them as a people.
Okay. Now they've enjoyed the success of conquering all these other nations because they have kept the word. Now moving forward and looking forward, as you said, they should. You know, they've got to take responsibility for themselves from this day forward. And that's not to say that they were responsible for all the victories. But in a sense, they were, because as long as they kept the word of God, he was with them. It was always a conditional thing. Remember back Jericho and Ai. Why were they defeated at Ai? You know, sin in the camp. How many did it take? Just one. Now they sent the spies to Ai and said, "Oh, it's such a small city, we don't need to send everybody, just send 3,000. And out of that 3,000, 36 died because of one man's sin. How many people in a church does it take to destroy a church?
One.
You got the wrong person, just like Achan, got the wrong person, could affect everybody else in that entire congregation. Unfortunately, we've seen it happen. All it takes is one. So, something we should learn out of that. Was that the second bell or the first one?
First,
okay. All right, any other comments on the book overall of Joshua? Again, looking at the history of Israel, this is really the beginning of the nation. They have their own land now. They're already a people, but now they become a nation. They've got land, they've got borders. They've got to defend those borders, because again, all these nations around them, as was common in the time, nobody was satisfied with the land they had. They're always trying to expand their borders. We're going to see this late in their kingdom, where God allows these other nations to invade and find success because the people were not faithful. But right now, this is a good time in Israel. Don't jump forward to Judges just yet, and we see how the next generation. But right now, the nation of Israel is in good standing with God. They've done all the command because they've had good leadership. You know, Joshua, he's a man that said he did all that the Lord commanded him. How many other people we read about in the Bible? Not very many, right? Noah, maybe. Daniel. Job. Very few people that said, you know, I think it's in Ezekiel 14:14. When people are already going into captivity and they're so far gone that God says through Ezekiel that even if Noah, Job, and Daniel were here, that I would still not spare you. Now, that's how bad they were. These are three super examples, really faithful, good men. And God is saying that even if they were in the nation, you'd still be gone. But it says something about them. And when you think about Joshua, and here's someone that says, it said about him, God's record says, this man did all the Lord commanded him. Very commendable person to look at, an example. And to me, and especially in this chapter, more than anything, is his leadership of the nation of Israel. While he was a leader of Israel, they did what God wanted them to do. And that ought to tell us something about what a good leader can do for a church or for a country. And when you got good leadership, you can do great things. Okay, anything else before you get into some of the questions? James?
I'm always curious why Joshua didn't complete the task, completely driving all the teams out. The scriptures talk about him being old.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do remember there is one statement, and I don't remember if it's in Joshua or it's in Judges, that God did not drive him out to test the people. So that may have been a part in that beyond just the age of Joshua. I think that probably did play a part in it, because we don't see, it's almost like they settled the land, and then right after that, not too long after that, Joshua is already up in years and he passes. So it's probably not a whole lot of time in between us. So I have a feeling it's probably had something to do with that. But I do know there is a statement. I'll have to look up, find out where that's at. It says God did not drive him out to test the people. In other words, he was leaving it up to them to see whether they were going to do what they were supposed to do. And I don't know if I could lay that at the hand of Joshua or the rest of the people. I'll find that verse for you. Okay, anything else? All right, good stopping point. We'll start on page 4 in the questions about conquering Canaan next week. Appreciate all your comments.